Project Independence is the Aging in Place initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. One of the many services we offer is help at home with minor home maintenance. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Otto Loos. We are having a wonderful conversation with Josephine Meirzada. We're getting better, I hope. But at the break, we were talking, and I'm really turning this back over to both Josephine and Otto. You know, Otto is here, and everybody knows what both myself and Christine and Dan think of Otto. He's just a wonderful person and has been up through a lot, and we're hearing his story. And we've known it for especially the last year as he shared stuff with us. And it's so interesting that Josephine, and I'm not even paying attention to this. I had Josephine on the show because I think she's a wonderful human being and lives a life of purpose. But it's like the second coming of Otto. It really is. I think it's wonderful that, you know, you, Josephine, are going to say to yourself, I'm going to be there and I'm going to be a success like Otto is with my family and my friends and my neighbors. But at the age of six, Otto had to defend himself, and you are doing it still to this day. You have to defend. It's a shame that we are forced to do this in a society, literally for acceptance. But we have to do what we have to do. And honestly, I'm proud that I'm having the both of you, and this was not my intention. But it's like a food fight. I love it.
Well, I wouldn't be here, John, if it weren't for you, Christina, and Dan, all right? That's I have high respect for all three of you, and that's why I'm here. You know?
Thank you.
I wouldn't be here otherwise. But anyhow, Josephine, this is an interesting opportunity to share. Even though my time of life was very different, you know, the 1930s and 40s, as compared to yours, was probably, and your parents came here in what year?
In 79.
Okay, so it was a different world altogether than, when my parents were involved. You could make a living back then being a milkman, which my father was, and buy a house. I don't know if you could do that anymore. You know, it's a different planet all around, financially and also culturally. The acceptance in some areas is better, and in some areas it's worse. we've gone to extremes, right and left, and somewhere there's got to be a moderate middle, but that's a different topic altogether.
In reference to a moderate middle, one thing that I want to bring up with Josephine is Josephine, and I'm not making any comparisons, I'm not saying Otto didn't, but Josephine got involved in stuff to bring her heritage to her modern day life in the organizations you were involved with, which can be done in Great Neck. I don't know if Otto had the opportunity to do anything like that, honestly, with a war and everything, to have German heritage things in a neighborhood was probably difficult. But for, you know, for Shy and organizations like that I know Josephine's a part of in Great Neck is 100% acceptable. And great, great organizations participating in the neighborhoods.
Well, believe it or not, though, back then, there was a place in Brooklyn called Schwaben Hall, and then there was a place, it's still there in Franklin Square, called Plattdeutscher Park. And Plattdeutscher Park is on Hempstead Turnpike. It's a restaurant. But that's where the Germans, particularly from the north part of Germany, which is where my family came from, the Plattdeutsch, low German, would congregate. So they did have opportunity to get together without people harassing them, really. Overall, I mean, most people understood that. During a war like that, we had people on both sides. My mother's brother was a prisoner of war. He was in the German army, and he was in Kansas, Arkansas, as a prisoner of war of this country. And he often told people how great he was treated. That kind of war definitely caused a lot of conflict. I mean, because there were family members on both sides, you know. It's like the Civil War in this country. You had people, both sides, brothers. Yeah. But anyhow, back to Josephine.
Josephine, the Iranian-American Jewish Federation and the Sephardi, those organizations, that's what I was referring to before. And I know you've been involved in all of them.
Yeah, I have. You know, I've always been drawn to my interests. I think there are a lot of people who are very calculative and do things because of their intentions to be strategic and reach some kind of goal. For me, it was never the case. Much of my life was like throwing spaghetti at the wall, but in actuality, I was creating a web. Over time, having co-founded 30 years after, becoming involved in the Iranian community and the Jewish community at large, and building those important bridges, as well as civic bridges with various political leaders, I recognize that I also have to understand who I am and where I came from in the process. This ultimately led me to work at the American Sephardi Federation, which is one of five partners at the Center for Jewish History. And they document the history of Jewish life in North Africa and the Middle East. And over time, that led me to become more active and involved in my own home community, where I worked in development at the Iranian American Jewish Federation in New York. You know, the IAJF is basically seen as an umbrella organization that suits the needs of our community, you know, whether it's locally or abroad. And my past experiences kind of, you know, led me to be involved in these things and ultimately trailed its way to what I do now professionally.
Bad, Otto.
No, I'm just curious. You do a lot of things, and I've read a lot more, so we could talk for a while. Do you have a job like that you get paid for?
No.
Between all of this?
Probably not enough. But look, I'm someone who believes that if I'm waking up in the morning, I'm going to do something that's meaningful. Otherwise, what's the purpose of living? I mean, there's obviously function and people do have expenses, but, you know, everything comes down to choice, right? And I have to be realistic. I'm someone who's, you know, going to have a partner in the future. I'm going to have children of my own. And if I'm going to be a working woman, I want to be a leader in my family. I want to be someone who my children can look up to and learn from. I don't ever want my kids to have an association with their mother and, you know, their mother only goes to work. If I'm going to work, I want my children to be able to learn from me. And I also recognize the things that I do today affect my future and the environment that I'm in. When I'm in an environment that I affect, those people will ultimately affect my future children's lives. You know, it's crazy that I'm saying this. I'm not married. I don't have children. But I realize that I can't just look at my today. I have to look at my tomorrow. And it's part of the reality that I will face.
Did your mother do things like you're talking about?
So my mother did not work. She raised us at home. But the one thing that was very important to her when raising us was the fact that she wanted to be home when we were home. And, you know, every day after school, I had a different activity. Going to this class or that class or this class, which, you know, turned me into a well-rounded and cultured individual. But at the same time, you know, if she did choose to have a job, I think it would be one where she would be involved with the community professionally, because that's something that she does herself. If I didn't have leadership in my life, if there wasn't someone for me to look up to, you know, who would say that my actions are innate? You know, I had a wonderful role model, my mother, my grandfather, my grandmother. These are all people who are active and involved in our community and helping in different organizations. you know, sometimes blindly, you know, to this day, there are things that, you know, they've done that people don't talk about because they don't know that they did it. There's a level of humility associated with, you know, the grandeur of helping someone in anonymity. And these are some of the things that I've learned, which have helped me become involved in my community as well.
You know, I want to just say something also, jumping in, because I'm just enjoying this program this morning. Helping in anonymity is so important because there's a level of honesty and truth behind it. Because some people who need to help and need to have a picture taken and everything else, and everybody say, thank you, thank you, thank you. You have to sometimes be suspect of what the real, the alternative motive is and what was the real desire behind helping. Did you really want to see Josephine move on, or were you really trying to get something from Josephine and her family? And that is so important that, you know, when you get somebody who, what you're talking about with your mom and your grandparents, where you learn from them and they would be looking at you now so proud, your grandparents, I don't know if they're still here or not, but so proud because look what their little girl became from the one that was sitting on grandpa's lap or just telling a story or something to what you're doing, which is great. I mean, it really is. I mean, it's familial, if that's the proper word. It's not just a community thing you're doing. You're doing this for family too. You know, it starts with family and then moves out to the community.
You know, John, I actually want to play devil's advocate with you here. And I think that, you know, anonymity isn't necessarily the best tool, although it can be. I recognize the fact that honesty is important.
Okay.
But at the same time, you know, if you're someone who wants to create a legacy, if you're someone who wants to be able to create a precedent in your household and in future generations, you know, maybe it's important to document, you know, the different things that you do and you've done. You know, I often question whether or not it's appropriate for someone to have their name associated to a building, for example, if they give a contribution or, and I think, you know, there's a level of like, it's a bit distasteful, for example. But at the same time, you know, over time, you know, generations change, values change. And if you set an intention, you know, many years down the road, children learn about their family history and their identity, and they can do research and learn and see, well, you know, this was my great-great-grandmother. This was my great-great-grandfather. Because over time, these connections can be lost. So you have that point of convergence. So it's okay. Definitely something to be argued.
No, I'm agreeing with you 100%. And I'm not going to take from it. My point was some people do it for the wrong reason. They just put the name on the building and they don't give a damn about anybody else. That's different. I agree with what you're saying 100%. But we also have to take another break. You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.